Welcome everyone to Nox Game Design for May 2026. My name is Levi Smith. This month, we're going to be talking about game passwords. So a little bit of history. This is going to be sort of a history lesson. So passwords are commonly used in like 8-bit games back in the 1980s for the original NES and also in the 16-bit SNES era into the early 90s. I looked online. It looked like there's over 250 games that use a password system. Only a few games at the time used a battery for save states, such as Zelda, Dragon Warrior, and Star Tropics. All the other games, you had to write down a password to save your progress to continue your game later. And essentially, passwords became obsolete during the PlayStation era. Once PlayStation introduced memory cards, then pretty much any game could use the memory card to save data. So passwords really weren't used after that. So here's some pros and cons I came up with for game passwords. The pros for passwords, well, one, they last forever. They're never going to change. You can't lose them, anything like that. Like I said, they're never changing. You can actually share passwords with your friends. I think that was cool back in the 80s. Like if you got so far in a game, you could write it down and give it to a friend or whoever, and they could continue from your password. You could also see these passwords printed in like hint books and magazines and things like that, which was pretty cool. You get a magazine, find a code, a password, and try it out in your game to get to a different point in the game. One nice thing about passwords is like you could run a game, write your password down, and then continue your game later using that same password. Your password won't ever get erased. Like save games can accidentally get erased. Passwords last forever. And also passwords are kind of nice for developers when you're debugging a game. You just put in a password and give yourself additional abilities or skip to a certain point in the game, infinite lives, things like that. The cons of using passwords, well, one, you had to write down a long string of characters. This was pre-cell phone cameras back in the 80s, so you can just like take a picture of the screen. If you did take a picture of the screen, you'd have to go get your roll of film developed, which wouldn't be very efficient. Some passwords had really strange characters. Passwords had similar looking characters like a capital O and a lowercase o, or a 1 and an L. So sometimes that could get mixed up. And using a password, the player could just completely skip playing the actual game. If they had a password for the end of the game, they just skip to the end of the game. And also, if you wrote down your password on a sheet of paper, you could always lose your piece of paper or get thrown away, something like that. So that's some of the cons of using passwords. So yeah, really, we don't use passwords anymore. But if you're doing a Ripter-style game, here's some of the things you may want to consider if you're developing a password system. It must be able to capture all of the player's progress. Like if you're doing an adventure style game, like all the completed levels, collected items, things like that. Other styles of games, you may just, like an action game, you might just want to track the user's level. So that'd be a lot easier to track than all the different properties and statistics of a player. If we're assuming this is pre-internet, passwords can't be easily guessable. That'd kind of defeat the purpose of a password. And back then, we didn't have the ability to look at the game source code, so you didn't have to worry about somebody cracking the code. When you use static strings, that's pretty much what a password is, a series of characters, usually the alphabet and numerics, but they can be other things. You need a way to validate a password. Some of the ones that I looked at use a checksum to validate a password, so it's not easily guessable. And you can also obfuscate the password, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Sometimes they do a bit shift, so it scrambles the password a little bit. Or you could have the user enter like a name and then hash it with the player's name to give a unique password. Then the password wouldn't be shareable at all unless you gave the person your name as well. So this is kind of the first one that I looked at. One of the first games I played was Mega Man 2. So it had a password system, basically a grid, a 5x5 grid. And you put these little markers in different grid cells, and that was your password. So what I found out when I did some research on this is actually the first row A is the number of energy tanks, 1, 2, 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4. The remaining grid cells are whether a boss is alive or dead, whether the stage is completed or not. And I got in and looked at a little bit of the code, and I could actually see the values of as I put in the password, how these bits flip from like 0 to 1 for each of the cells. So it's just like one contiguous thing of memory right here. And it starts at hexadecimal location 0420 and stops at 0438. Found this using the FCUX RAM search capability, and I looked for a change from 0 to 1. Just kind of guessed that that's what they did, and looks like that was correct. And that so they actually used a whole byte for a marker, which seems like it was kind of a little bit overkill right there. You could probably just tell it with a bit, not a whole byte. But you can actually see when you enter the password, these values 0420 change and 0421, which is A2, B is 0425, and E5 is 0438. So each one of these cells corresponds to a byte in memory. And the actual storage location, it actually tracks the number of markers you've placed on the grid, and that starts at hexadecimal 0680. And I just did a search from when it went from 1 to 0, then a 9 on a reset. So you can actually find that value, which I thought was pretty cool. So I found on this site, this retromageddon.com on Mega Man 2. Somebody actually cracked it. Like I was talking about earlier, the number of energy tanks or the first row. And then based on the number of energy tanks, you select out of each one of the robot bosses, whether they're alive or dead, and that will give you the password. So each of the passwords always use 9 dots in the password. So that's basically what I have right here listed out. So the second game that I looked at was Metroid. So Metroid is a little bit more complex. So in Metroid, you have a password. It's like 24 characters long. So each one is, we got 4 sets of 6 characters. And each one of these characters is what we call like a Metroid character. And each Metroid character is only 6 bits long. So that's what this big table here in the middle is. So like if you got the Metroid character number 0, that's actually 0 in decimal and in binary. But if you got A, like A is the 10th character in the Metroid character system, hexadecimal 0A, and it's 1010 in binary. And then the lowercase a starts at decimal 36, has a value of 36 in the Metroid character system, hexadecimal 24, and in binary, that's 100100. So in Metroid, to store all of the players' statistics, their missiles, their attributes, power-ups collected, it takes 144 bits, which is 18 bytes. The first 16 bytes are the game data, and then the passwords are encrypted using a bit rotation. The key is the byte in index 16, and passwords are validated with a checksum, which is the byte index 17. And yeah, here's kind of like what I had with the conversion between the Metroid characters and between that and their decimal, like whole number values, and then the binary equivalents. So you can see here, like one of the classic passwords was Justin Bailey. So you can map the J to hex 13, which is decimal 19, the U to hexadecimal 1E, which is decimal 30, all the way out. And you can actually go into the code and actually see where it loads each of these. So you can see here where it's loading in that hexadecimal 13 right here into the memory location 699A. So this kind of lays it out. So I found a really good guide that was written a long time ago by John David Ratliff. Yeah, so this is the Metroid Password Format Guide by J.D. Ratliff. and it looks like it was written in 2005. So this guy did a lot of work. He did a really good job of like figuring out where all the different like missile containers and power-ups and whether bosses were defeated or not. And he has like an overview, kind of like the Metroid character system right here, kind of like what I just talked about, and the checksum byte and the shift byte. And I learned a lot from this, and I think he did a really good job. The only thing that I think is a little bit convoluted with this is that he says there's a encoded 144-bit data field. So yeah, all of the data is encoded in 144 bits, but it's really actually 17 bytes. So he's got like all the items listed in here. So the problem that I have with this is that, so this first collection of eight is the first byte of the password, but he has the least significant bit first. He has bit zero. So what I would have done is I would have had bit seven first, go 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And that would be byte zero. And then byte one would be bit seven of byte one all the way down to zero. And then you have byte two right here with the missile containers and the doors. And then all the way down to the last byte in here. You can see right here, these four bytes are for the game age, how long the game has been running. This byte is for the missile count. This one's for which power-ups you currently have in the game. So this goes into a little bit about the encoding and how that's converted to binary. So yeah, the way he laid it out, the problem is when you try to print these out, he's got the least significant bit first. But when you print out these bytes, you always print out a byte with the most significant bit first. So it would be bit seven should be first and bit zero last. And then he has to do a little bit of complicated math to get this to come out right when you're doing the encoding. So basically, you have all of the bits, all the bytes, and you do 6-bit chunks. Then you convert those 6-bit chunks into the different Metroid characters, which the Metroid characters go from 0 to 64, 63 inclusive. This is another good site that I used to learn how to do this. So basically you can go in here and like set your missiles. So if you like want 20 missiles or whatever, it'll generate the password up here on the fly. So when I was trying to figure this out, this was really helpful. So I could go in here and like change things and figure out what the actual password should be when you change a value. So this is kind of like how I have it laid out right here. So basically, like I was saying, this is byte zero up here at the top, byte one, byte two, that's the first row. And that will give you the first portion of the password. So basically all the ones, the first three rows are the first two sections of the password, the first row on the password screen. So you can see here, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, and six, it has like the different parts of the boss room that are completed. Here's like the swimsuit mode, if you have that bit enabled. So each one of these squares is one bit. And then each collection of these bits is a byte. You see here at the end of this byte right here, you got the different start locations, whether you want to start in Norfair, Craig's Lair, Ridley Lair, then this byte right here, which I believe is byte 9, you got the different power-ups that you've collected in the game. So enabling any of these bits will enable that power-up. Here you have the your missile count. This is a little bit different than the actual missile containers you've collected. So up here at the top are the missile containers you've collected, but this is actually the current value of missiles that you have. Like I said earlier, you got four bytes for the game age. These are the bosses that have been defeated and whether that statue has been raised or not. Here's the shift byte for the obfuscation, kind of encryption. And here's the checksum right here. And this is kind of like how I was saying is like laid out in bytes. So each, like this first blue row is the first byte with 8 bits. Here's byte 1 with 8 bits, byte 2 with 8 bits. So yeah, this is kind of like if you ever heard of Big Endian and Little Endian, but this is byte order. Little Endian, least significant byte is first. Big Endian, most significant byte is first. But really, this is just how binary is written. Whenever binary is written as like a hexadecimal number, you always have your most significant bit on the left and the least significant bit on the right. So that's why we have byte 0, bit 7, bit 6, bit 5, bit 4, bit 3, bit 2, bit 1, bit 0, like that. Instead of going 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like that. So what this does is whenever you encode this, you take 6 bits and convert that into the Metroid character. That'd be the bit 7, bit 6, bit 5, bit 4, bit 3, and bit 2 of byte 0. Then the next Metroid character will be bit 1 and bit 0 of byte 0. Then the first 4 bits of byte 1. And then the next character will be the last 4 bits of byte 1. And then the first 2 bits of byte 2. Okay, so what I did is I wrote a little password generator for Metroid. I used FastAPI. I'm kind of envisioning this to be like a unified password generation system for NES games. So you can use this one interface, this one API, to get any to generate any password for any game. Currently, I only have like 3 games in here right now, but I think it would be neat to expand this more to have additional games. And it's an API, so I can host it on my website. I didn't want this to be a talk on like hosting FastAPI. I was able to get it with my shared hosting, but I had to do like a reverse proxy to get this FastAPI working. But yeah, this is kind of like how I was talking right here with the missile count. It starts at byte index 10. It takes a value 0 to FF, which is in hexadecimal, which in decimal 0 to 255. So this is where that byte out order becomes important. Because if you had the bits backwards, then these numbers would be reversed, and then it wouldn't make any sense. So new missile drops won't appear until a missile container is collected. Yeah, so it won't let you go over the number of missile containers that you've collected. It has a check in there for that. Collecting a missile drop will reset missile count to maximum possible missile number. Then power-ups are at byte 9. Power-ups can be represented by binary values. So you can see the byte table. And power, this is what I thought was really cool. You can OR the power-ups together to enable multiple power-ups. I remember like seeing this for command line switches, like for Allegro and things like that, where a setting, a flag, would be just like one bit out of a byte, and each one would have a different bit enabled. So if you want to enable multiple, you just OR all those together, and then it will give you the byte that represents all of the bits that have been enabled. So that's kind of like what I did up here. So you can see here I got the missile byte set to 10, and then I just assign like hexadecimal 19 is 25, so you just assign 19 to that missile byte, and that'll give you 25 missiles right there. And then the power-up byte is byte number 9, so the bombs bit is the first bit right there. So that's 007 zeros followed by 1 in binary. That's how you represent a binary value in Python. The high jump bit is the second last zero is 1. Long beam is the third bit. So you're never going to have 2 bits the same for any of these. And then you got the 5 different, you know, the Maru Mari and the Varia and Wave Beam and Ice Beam. They all have a separate bit. Then based on what you want, you just OR all those together. And then the checksum's really easy, which I believe I have on the next slide. So you got to set that checksum byte or it'll give you an invalid password error. And here's where I'm going for 0 to 6. We want to convert the bytes to the Metroid alphabet. So we're taking 6 at a time and converting those into the Metroid password right there. And here's a little bit more of the code. So here's where we're setting the checksum byte. So this is what I said. what I meant by it's really important to have these like represented as bytes, or it makes things a lot easier. So basically checksum byte is 17. So we're going to go from 0 to 16, inclusive 16. And we're just going to have this checksum I, this counter value, and we're just going to add the value of each byte. And then we're going to put that checksum. We're going to take the last 8 bits of that and put that in the checksum byte. So if it rolls over, it's okay. You don't have to worry about it. That's what this 0xFF is doing. It's taking the last 8 bits of that checksum byte. So you just assign it to the checksum byte and you're done. It makes it a lot easier. This middle part is where we're actually converting it to the Metroid characters. So yeah, we're doing 0, 1, 2, 3. We're doing 4 bytes at a time. So the thing is, like, we're doing those 6-bit chunks. So both, so a byte is 8 bits, and this chunk is 6 bits. So the least common multiple is 24. So 24 is divisible by both 6 and 8. So that's what makes using 24 really nice. So this first part right here, so this is kind of like a bit mask. So like I was saying earlier, all these ones, that's taking the first 6 bits right there. That's going to be your first character. Your second character is going to be the last 2 bits of the first byte and the first 4 bits of the second byte. Then the third character is going to be the last 4 bytes of the second byte, last 4 bits of the second byte, and the first 2 bits of the third byte. And then the fourth character is going to be the last 6 bits of the fourth byte. Then you join all those together and print it out. So I've got Metroid alphabet, which is defined here. So it just figures out based on that value that you've extracted in those 6-bit chunks, which one it equals down here. We also have energy tanks in Metroid right here. So each of the energy tanks is kind of like in a different position. You can go back and look at this right here to figure out where all the energy tanks are. But yeah, basically I just have the different bits, bytes and bits, where those are located right here. So it's a list of dictionaries or hashes to hold the energy tank bit locations. Yeah, so I've got it right here in my development area. This is also in a source code repository, not the Nox Game Design source code repository under passwords, NES password. So I got like a main PY right here, main.py, and this is all that fast API that I was talking about. Just kind of checking that out. You can define like the different, like the endpoints, like game and ID. So I'm actually using the cartridge ID for representing the game. Doing slash game just gets you a list of the games and the IDs, and then you can do like game and then the password, then you do a post with the values that you want to get you your password. So it's pretty simple. And the other thing, I'd probably make it like extensible, so make it robust so you can add new games. So right now I got Metroid, Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3, and Mike Tyson's. It's just kind of like a password lookup. It really isn't a generator yet. And then all those are defined in the main PY. So if we go back and see if we can bring up. So here's the one nice thing about Fast API is it generates like Swagger style documentation. So I don't have all this filled out, but you can see here I got my NES Metroid. MT is the code for Metroid. And you got all of the different values over here, like bombs, high jump, long beam, screw attack, the bosses defeated, swimsuit enabled, missiles, energy tanks, and I can go in here and like probably add more descriptions and things like that. So I got Postman right here. So let's say we want like so I got a little like startup file right here. So basically you got to do source.env bin activate to activate like that Python environment. Then you do fast API dev, and that starts up like a little simple test server. And then you can go in to your web browser 120.0.0.1. And that's just like hello fast API right there. But I can do like game. So that's going to list all of the games. So I only have like four games in right here right now. I'd like to add more. You can also do a search like game name equals Mega Man. That'll return the two IDs for the two Mega Man games. But if I already know which game I want, like I want NES Metroid USA password. Yeah, so if you just put it in the web browser, that's not going to work because you got to do a post on that. And that's why we have this program called Postman. Let's make this a little bit smaller. So I want to do a post. I already got some examples over here. And then you can go over to body. So say I want Ridley defeated true, Kraid defeated true, 255 missiles and 21 missile containers. You can post that. And that'll give you your password right there. So yeah, really not something an end user would use, but you could build an interface on top of this, or if you just have a program or an agent or something that wants to grab NES passwords, it can call that and get the password right back right there. So yeah, if you look at the documentation right here, so let's say I want wave beam and high jump. So I'll do wave beam true high jump true. And I tried to simplify the names of these parameters so they aren't super long, because they were a lot longer before. Let's give myself five missiles. Let's make it something, I don't know. Let's make it 17 missiles. There we go. And let's have five missile containers. So press send. That generated password right here. Yeah, so I got Metroid running right here. So I'm just going to try to see if I can enter this password. 0C5. Then rest of the zeros on the first line. Then GX4000. 1, 2, 3, 4 zeros and 3S. Press enter. Okay, so see if we got wave beam. So we got wave beam right there. And we have high jump. We have 17 missiles right there. And our missile containers. But you can see I don't have the ball, Maru, but I can collect it right there. So I don't have anything else. But I don't have bombs, anything like that. Yeah, so I was just going to show off the Mega Man 2 one right here. So I changed the post to NESXR USA. And let's say we want, we want Airman defeated. You got to put these in double quotes. Let me double check the documentation. So we got, yeah. So for Mega Man, you got to do Airman defeated. So let's do Airman and Woodman defeated. And say two energy tanks. Airman defeated. True. You can also put defeated false, but that kind of, defeats the purpose. Woodman defeated. And I saw a typo, not main. I've typed main so many times. True. And energy tanks. Yeah, like I said, let's just do two and send. So there's our password right there. Like I was saying, we can put in, and these can be in any order, but let's say, let's do quick man defeated false. Submit that. And it should be the exact same password. So yeah, let's give Mega Man 2 a try right here. So the one nice thing in my code, I sorted these, so it generates all the different icons, and I do a sort on it, so it puts them in a nice order where you can easily enter these. So A3, that should give us the two energy tanks, B1, C5, D1, D5, E2, E3, E4, E5. And yeah, there we go. We got Pea Shooter. We got Airman and Windman defeated. And we should have two energy tanks. Yep, two energy tanks right there. So yeah, that's my kind of goal of this project. I don't know how much time I'll have to work on it, but just to have a universal password generator, not just a password database. Like, there's plenty of password databases out there where you can just like look up a password, but this is like you tell it what you want and it will generate the password for you, which I think is pretty cool, but it requires like cracking every single game, or not cracking, but it required determining the password format of all the games. So yeah, we got like Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Like I was saying, this one really isn't. So we've got to remember to change this to post. And if we look at our documentation, let's do World Circuit. Post that. So there's the password for the World Circuit. That's just a password lookup. That's not generating anything. Yeah, so let's give this one a try. 7 7 8 0 7 3 4 5 4. And the one strange thing with a punch out, so there's the World Circuit, the second Piston Honda fight right there. So yeah, like I was saying, it's just a password lookup. And some of the passwords on Mike Tyson's Punch Out, like the another World Circuit, which I think is pretty cool. That's what I had on the slide, because this password will let you play a circuit that isn't normally accessible in the game. You just kind of, I think I saw this like in the Black Player Guides book that came out for the NES a long time ago, but you got to press select with A and B, so it's a little bit different. But yeah, it's a different game mode, a different path. So yeah, I was kind of looking at some other NES games out there. And how many characters they use and how many spaces. So you got like Metal Gear has 32 characters and 25 spaces, all the uppercase Latin letters and numbers, or numbers 1 through 6. Kid Icarus is like Metroid, but I think it used the same system. One thing I found out is like Metroid, I think Kid Icarus as well, on the regular Famicom family computer in Japan, they both had they had save features because they were on the disk system. But when they brought them over here to North America, then the NES console that we had in America didn't have the disk system, so they had to develop this password system specifically for games like Metroid and Kid Icarus. So it had 64 characters, which makes sense. That's how many That 64 characters would be 6 bits, which makes things nice. And then 24 spaces. I was playing this game, Valkyrie Nobukan, it had 36 characters and 18 spaces. It's kind of unique because it does track like experience and health and hit points. But like in a game like Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest, when they brought it over here, it actually has a save feature, a built-in battery. Clash of Demon had 32 characters, 30 spaces. Faxanadu had 64 characters and 32 spaces. One thing unique about Faxanadu is that it didn't require all the characters. So you had some passwords that are shorter than others. Guardian Legend, it has 64 characters, but some of them are like these really strange. They actually put like double dots over the lowercase characters, which I guess makes sense. It makes it easier to distinguish those lowercase characters. Willow had 64 characters and 16 spaces. Iron Sword, 26 characters and 5 spaces. Castlevania 3 was pretty neat because it only has 4 characters. It has like nothing, a whip, a cross, and a heart. Those are your only 4 characters you can use, and is in a 16-space grid. But it's actually hashed with the player's name that you enter when you start the game. So in a way, the player's name becomes a part of the password. Bubble Bobble, it only had 10 characters, like A through J with 5 spaces. But in a game like Bubble Bobble, it's only tracking what level you're on. So you don't need to have a super long password when all you're doing is tracking a number. I forget how many levels are in it, probably 100. If you're only tracking an integer from 0 to 100, you don't need a long password. This game, Swords and Serpent, it had like a password for each character, which I thought was strange. Adventure of Lolo. So he had 26 characters, just a regular capital Latin alphabet, and only 4 spaces. But again, it's only tracking what level you're on, not a lot of different stats. Monster Party, he had 70 characters. I think that's the most characters out of all that I've seen. And 9 spaces. Iron Tank, it only had 10 characters and 7 spaces. It's just a numeric password. And Battle of Olympus had 64 characters and 26 spaces. So I went back and I always had a hard time with the Combinatorics. I took the Combinatorics class in college. Actually, I was required to take Combinatorics in college. And I was wondering, could I apply that to passwords? In a way, I can. Some ways not so useful, but one thing that always confused me in combinatorics is they would talk about combinations or permutations. But if you have like our 26 letters and you can pick one of those letters multiple times and the order is significant, then that's basically, so if we call the characters N and the number of spaces R, that's just into the R. And that's just kind of like a password to a safe or a lock with a dial or whatever. It's just into the R. And that's pretty easy to calculate, into the R power. The problem is, so there really isn't a name for that. A lot of people call that a combination, like a combination to a lock or something like that. But in the mathematical sense, it's more like an arrangement. So that's where it gets really confused me. So an arrangement, which is also sometimes called some people call it a permutation, some people call it a combination, but in mathematics, a permutation has a very strict definition and a combination has a very strict definition. But an arrangement is just like, hey, you can use any of these characters any number of times. But they got to be in a specific order. So character repetition is allowed. The order is important. Empty spaces are not allowed when you're using this calculation. I'd have to do some more math to figure out. So if you have like 3 characters, A, B, and C, you have to have, or actually if you have 3 spaces and have like 10 characters to choose from, you can have like A, B, C, A, B, F, J, B, A. But you can't just have A. You can't just have AC. You got to have all 3 characters for this to apply in this arrangement, for this calculation. So there's also permutations in PR, which is N factorial. So factorial is just whatever number it is. Like if the number is 6, it's 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2. times one, but anything times one is itself. So basically, that's what that explanation point is there. So it's n factorial over n minus r factorial. So with that, character repetition is not allowed. So you don't see that in a lot of passwords for games. And order is also important. So all the stuff that we've looked at with these game passwords, none of them are permutations. You might call it a permutation, but in the strict mathematical sense, it's not a permutation. In a combination, some people call it like n choose r. It's n factorial over n minus r factorial times r factorial. So all that's underneath the n factorial. So in that, character repetition is not allowed. So each character is distinct. You can only have pick an A once, a B once, whatever. And order is not important. A, C would be the same thing as C, A. So those don't get counted twice. Whereas in permutations, those would get counted twice. So the whole point of this is there's a lot of different passwords you can generate. So I looked at the games that I had that went over in the previous slides and counted the number of characters, possible characters for each, and the number of spaces in the passwords, and figured out the number of arrangements. So, and then I sorted those by the least to most. So Bubble Bobble had the least number of arrangements at 1 followed by 5 zeros, 1E5. So basically, I put the, if you don't know E, the notation, scientific notation, 1 million is 1 followed by 6 zeros, so that'd be 1E6. 1 billion is 1 followed by 9 zeros, which is 1E9. And 1 trillion is 1 followed by 12 zeros, which is 1E12. And it just keeps going up from there. So we have, 100,000 different possible passwords in Bubble Bobble. And what I would think would be neat is to figure out how many of those are valid. So I guess if there's only 100 levels, you do 100 over 100,000. I guess that would give you the number of the percentage of valid passwords. Again, like Adventure of Lolo has 4.57 with 5 followed by 5 zeros, which is like 400,000 passwords. So like Bubble Bobble and Adventure of Lolo, like I was saying earlier, they're only tracking what level you're on. And I think that's another important thing. You don't need to have like a high number of valid passwords. Otherwise, people could just put in random passwords and end up in some random place in the game. So you got to have like the number of valid passwords pretty low compared to the total number of passwords. So then a lot of these action games like Iron Tank, Iron Sword, Mega Man 2, they don't require long passwords, just how many like energy tanks and what levels have been completed. Like Mega Man has 1.5 followed by 17 zeros, different arrangements. So basically in like Mega Man 2, we only have two characters, whether it has a token, whether it has a marker or not a marker. So it's 0 or 1. Mega Man 3, it can either be empty. A cell can either be empty, have a red marker or blue marker. So that's three different characters. And the total number of spaces would be the number of rows times the number of columns. So Mega Man 3 had 6 rows by 6 columns. So it had 36 total spaces. So that gives you 1.5 with 17 zeros number of different arrangements. You can't do permutations and combinations for those because you don't even have enough characters to fill in all the different spaces. So that's why those are empty right there. But I went in, like for all the other games, I put number of permutations and combinations just for kicks. If anybody out there is like going into a like science or engineering degree, it is kind of interesting to look at this just to understand what permutations and combinations are and how those are different than just regular arrangements. The highest number of arrangements was 6.28 followed by 57 zeros for Faxanadu and Guardian Legend. Each of those had 64 different characters with 32 spaces. And you see the number of permutations and combinations are less than that. So, yes, I already talked about the NES password tool. I didn't want to wait till the end to talk about it. But, developed by me over the last month. my attempt at creating a unified API. So hopefully I can get this thing hosted. I'm not sure exactly. I think I want to host it on my Levi D. Smith. But it, yeah, I wanted to play around with the hosting a little bit to get it to work. I got it to work, but I don't like the way that it's working. I use FastAPI, which is a Python-like library for developing APIs. So you can post to the game ID, just using the cartridge ID, which I know not all games have cartridge IDs. So I don't know what I'm going to do for the games. If it does have a password and not a cartridge ID, like some of the unlicensed games, I don't know. I just thought it's easier using the cartridge ID because games can be spelled different ways. Like you can have Punch Out and Mike Tyson's Punch Out, and you can have Roman numerals and Phoenician numerals, and yeah, it's easier just using the defined game ID. But I do know some games have different releases with different game IDs. So I don't know. I'll have to figure that one out. So first you look up the game ID with the game question name query. You can use the plus sign for spaces, like in Mega Man 2. ID is the game card ID. Send parameters and the post data. So you specifically got to do a post. So if you anybody wants to develop a front end, make sure you post, which makes it a little bit cleaner than doing it in get parameters, which I think you're limited to a certain number of characters in get parameters. You can see the docs for post body schema. Try to make it modular, like I said earlier, where you can add new games. And you put the new games in the mod folder. I think I should have each game go by its ID in the mod folder. That'd probably make things a little bit... It'd make it a little bit harder to find the games because I don't have all these game IDs memorized, but it'd make it a little bit cleaner so it's a one-to-one match with the game ID. And then you got to update the main PY, just to add a new entry point for each game. So I tried to make one endpoint for all of the game passwords. But what I found out what the problem with that is you, in the documentation, it's just going to have one method, and it's not going to have each game broken apart separately. So I have to have a unique endpoint, API endpoint defined for each game. So I ran that earlier, and that's what that does. So anyway, that's what I have for game passwords. It's kind of a history lesson there. I don't know. I mean, retro games are kind of coming back in style, so this may be useful. But it is a good look back at see how these passwords were generated and things like that. So appreciate everyone out there listening and watching, and I'll plan on being back in a month.